Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the TBH Sports Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Tyler Henry. Got a lot of good stuff to get into today, a lot of NFL talk, and we're going to jump straight into it. Joining me to talk about week two of the NFL and give you a little preview of week three, we have two recurring guests and one friend of the show. Our recurring guests are, of course, Alex Weiner and Ethan Jordan, and friend of the show, Cokie Riley, joining for a third time. Guys, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks, Tyler.
He's a friend of the show and can't even get the host name right. You got to be kidding me.
We're off to a flying start here.
It's a tough look. And I'm not editing that out, nor will I edit out the part where I say I'm not editing that out. In case you guys don't know, this is actually the old gang for me. We had a show together when we were in college, Road to Glory. Good to have all three of you guys on for the first time. And let's just get right into it. So we've already had a full week two slate of NFL action, 2 weeks in the books, plus a Thursday night game, which we'll have a little piece on that a little later. But I wanted to jump straight into this. So looking at the teams right now that are undefeated at this point in the season, I want to ask you a question. Who's best, who's blessed, and who has impressed? Alex, I'm going to come to you on this first. Who do you think is the best undefeated team? Who do you think is the undefeated team that's just lucky to have that record? And who's the team that you didn't necessarily expect to be undefeated 2 weeks into the, 2 weeks into the season that's really kind of impressed you so far?
Well, your second question is by far the easiest to answer because it's the Bears.
Okay.
They shouldn't be 2-0. Or DeAndre Swift drop away from being 1-1 and, you know, a Giants comeback away from being 0-2. So I'm not a huge Bears guy, but they happen to be 2-0 for the moment. Best team? I would have said the Chiefs after week one probably, but they really struggled against the Chargers last week to kind of edge out that game in overtime. I would probably go with Baltimore or Green Bay. Baltimore has pretty much annihilated both of its opponents. They are allowing, I think, 11 points per game over the first 2 weeks, which is pretty nuts, especially when they're playing against, you know, the Cleveland Browns in week one was a talented offense, and then in week two, the Texans, who have Deshaun Watson as the quarterback. So that's probably the most impressive to me is Baltimore, although Green Bay has looked pretty sensational in the first two games. And then a 2-0 team that surprised me. I'm going to go with the Rams, because I wasn't a huge Rams guy before the season. I didn't trust their O-line after it wasn't very good last year. But they really stepped up. They've had a good couple of weeks. They really impressed me in week one, and so that would probably be my team there. I'm still keeping a close eye on them, but they've looked good so far.
So when I look at my board, I also have the Bears in the blessed category, and I think I can save some time here. Ethan, do you also have the Bears as the lucky team to be 2-0?
Yeah, the Bears are lucky. All right. Mitch Trubisky, a quarterback, who has been better this year, though.
That's fair. He has taken a step up. Cokie, are you in agreement on that as well?
Yeah, the Bears are bad. I don't care if that they're 2-0. They're just bad.
Okay, so Cokie, I'm going to keep it with you. Who do you think has been the best team in football so far that's 2-0, and who is a team that's kind of impressed you or exceeded your preseason expectations?
The best team that's 2-0 are the Kansas City Chiefs, because they're the Kansas City Chiefs. And they're incredible, and they had the best quarterback in the world with a solid defense and the perfect offense around him. I know the Chargers game was quite close, but, I mean, that's a divisional game. The Chargers played probably as well as they could possibly play. And, you know, the Chiefs didn't have their A game, and they still were able to pull that out. So I still think the Chiefs are the best team, period. And so what was the second half of your question?
Who is a team that's kind of exceeded your preseason expectations that's sitting undefeated right now at this point in the year?
This is a tough one. To me, it kind of comes down to Green Bay and the Rams. So I'm going to agree with Alex here and say the Rams. I wasn't a huge Rams guy heading into the year either. I was really worried about their defense. I didn't think they could run the ball, but they have been able to run the ball. Their offensive line has been much better than I expected them to be this season. And when they have a good running game and good offensive line play, Jared Goff really thrives. So you've really seen that so far this season.
All right, Ethan, I want to come to you on this. Who do you think is the best team in the league that's undefeated right now, and who's a team that's kind of stepped up and maybe exceeded your preseason expectations of them?
It would be fun to say something different, but the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL.
Okay.
There you have it. Until they show me differently, that's the narrative I'm going to continue to go with. Baltimore is impressed, but, you know, they impressed last year too, and then, well, we all know what happened. As far as the biggest surprise being 2-0, it's not surprising if you look at who they played, but the Titans being 2-0 is something that will not last. So I guess that's kind of surprising that they're amongst these this pantheon of teams. The Titans aren't that good.
Okay, fair enough.
I want to come in one thing. I was more answering the question of who's looked the best so far, and I think that's Green Bay or Baltimore.
And that was more of what I was asking. Yeah, no, fair enough. There were only 2 points that I kind of wanted to add on that, and I'm not going to talk about who the best team is. You guys touched on that between Baltimore, Green Bay, and I kind of agree. But one other team that I think deserves to be in the mix with Kansas City and those other two, I had it 11 wins preseason. The Arizona Cardinals have looked really good this year. They've looked surprisingly good on defense. On the offensive end, Kyler Murray is continuing to come into his own. Alex, I want to come to you really quickly on the Cardinals. Is this a team we could see make a deep playoff run? You're around this team pretty much every day.
That's a tough question so early. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious. Ask me again after like week six, because okay. Their early schedule is really easy for these next few weeks. They play the Lions this week, then they play the Panthers and then the Jets, and then it gets more difficult with the Seahawks. I think that Seahawks game is going to be a good sort of marker as to where they're at. You're right, they're much improved defensively. They had a lot of offseason acquisitions there, and you know, their pass defense has looked much better. They could be a little bit better against the run, but they've pointed out that flaw. And offensively, I mean, they have as many weapons as anybody, and Kyler's looked fantastic.
All right, fair enough. The team that has kind of impressed me, and I'm kind of surprised I didn't hear anybody mention it, and I realized that they were projected to do well this season, but the Buffalo Bills have looked pretty good. Josh Allen is doing things that I didn't really expect him to be doing at this point in the year. I would never call myself a Josh Allen hater per se, but he's definitely not a quarterback that I've been super high on. Really, really quickly, Koki, that's a guy that's in your division. That's a team that's in your division as a Patriots fan. What's kind of your early perception of the Bills here this year?
Well, yeah, the Bills look really good. Josh Allen's playing like the stud that many thought he'd never become. And they have just a really well-rounded team. They don't have an obvious flaw. They have a little more running back depth this season with the Zach Moss and Devin Singletary combination. I mean, look, defensively, they have depth across the board from the secondary. Their pass rush is solid. They have really good linebacker play, especially from Edmonds. So the Bills are an awesome team, and it doesn't stun me that they're 2-0 and they look this good. I guess the Josh Allen part is a bit of a surprise. His downfield accuracy this season has been so improved. And I guess since we're talking about like teams that have really impressed the start of the season, the Seattle Seahawks to me have looked amazing, especially now they're passing the ball more with Russell Wilson. Like, when you have a quarterback as good as him, you should throw the ball all the time. And for whatever reason, they never did that until this season. So I'm just really impressed by the way the Seahawks have played so far this season.
All right, absolutely. We've talked about who's hot. Now let's talk about who's not. 2 weeks into the season, there are some teams that have not looked good so far. I just have three questions again. I want to come to you first, Ethan, on this. My first question is, who is the worst team in the NFL this year that you have seen of the 0-2 teams? And I'm asking you first because I think of the two safe options, your New York Jets might be one of them, and the other team plays in that same city.
No, the Jets and Giants are easily the two worst teams in football right now, and the Jets are of those two are the worst. This team's terrible. They are just god-awful. There's not really anything to be excited about with them. Maybe that they have a good GM now and he's rebuilding, but for this particular season, there's not much to look forward to other than a man named Trevor Lawrence. Adam Gase is the perfect coach for a tank because he's bad at his job. Maybe that's the reason he's still there. They're hoping they'll lose. I could see a Josh Rosen situation here in New York with Sam Darnold being sent somewhere else, and they take one of the two quarterbacks at the beginning of this upcoming draft because they are just awful, and they need to blow everything up and just start from scratch. You know, new logo, certainly new uniforms, maybe move the team. I don't know, but something's got to give.
Well, and I want to ask you about one more point on the Jets specifically, because I know you have remained cautiously optimistic, I think, about Sam Darnold. He has not obviously gotten off to a great start this year. Do you think he's at the point where if this continues for even a few more weeks, they're going to be looking to replace him pretty quickly?
They may already be looking to replace him. I think they're, like I said, they're expecting to get a high draft pick, maybe go after one of those quarterbacks. Again, I don't know if this is Sam's fault. He's been on an awful team. He had mono for half the season last year, which whether you think that's his fault or not, I don't know. Yeah, this it's not his fault. It really isn't. I think he can be a competent quarterback in the NFL still, but he has nothing around him to even judge him off of right now. Heck, his USC team is probably a better suited NFL team than the one he's on right now.
That very well may be true, especially given some recent injuries. Koki, really quickly, do you agree Jets and Giants are the worst, and which of those two do you think is the worst? Or do you think there's another team that maybe had the worst roster actively in football right now?
Yeah, there's no one that's really close, because all the other 0-2 teams have something that can kind of latch on to as either something either exciting for the future of for the rest of the season, or something that's just, you know, could maybe even turn around their season. I mean, the Vikings are close, but I don't know. The Giants and the Jets are, in my opinion, two worst teams in the league.
That is an interesting take. I'm not as low as you are on the Vikings this year, but no time for that right now. Alex, really quickly, Giants and Jets, worst teams in the league?
I think so. Another team I was sort of looking at, they're not the worst team in the league, I'm just saying this right now, but the fact that just looking at like Jeff Driscoll starting games for the Broncos is tough, but they've gotten completely decimated over these first couple of weeks. Their defense is still competent, at least, and when you look at the Jets, entering this season, I looked at the defense, no Mosley, no Adams, and I was like, you know what? They better score if they're going to win like four games this year, and it's just a disaster, and Ethan's right. They just need to completely start fresh. The uniform's a good touch. They absolutely need to start fresh there, too.
Yeah, I think most people would agree. One of the other questions I want to ask, and I'm just going to go really quickly. I'm going to go right through the three of you guys on this. A team that is 0-2 that you think has the best chance to rebound. All I want to know from you, I'm going to start with Alex, and I'm working my way back here. Is it the Houston Texans, or is it somebody else?
I think it's Houston. I mean, their first 2 weeks were against the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Yeah.
I mean, that's harsh. And now this week they have a much more manageable game. The Steelers are still really good, and their defense is really good, so I'm curious just to see how the Texans hold up there. But it does get easier after that. They play the Vikings, the Jaguars, and the Titans. That's a bit smoother. So we may be able to see them kind of regain a little bit of momentum there. Another team, I don't love the Falcons, but offensively they can kind of score at will in certain spots, and they completely blew that game to the Cowboys. And special teams not knowing like the onside kick rules is inexcusable. They should have won that game. So that's a team that absolutely should not be 0-2 that is, and so maybe we can lump them in that category.
Koki, any teams to add to that category, 0-2 teams that you think will make a big rebound by the end of the year?
Yeah, I was about to make a zag and pick the Falcons, but Alex just mentioned them, and I actually think they'll bounce back more than the Texans do. I'm just worried about if the Texans start 0-3 like this, and their whole schedule is really, really tough. I mean, without Hopkins, you already see how much that offense has struggled. And I'm going to go Atlanta, because I think Atlanta, we know what Atlanta is. Their offense is awesome, and their defense is horrible, and they're going to choke away a bunch of games this season. But at the same time, like, out of all the teams that are 0-2, they have the best chance of getting this to 8 wins, I think. So,
all right, fair enough. Ethan, anything to add on that category?
Yeah, I was going to zag with the Falcons as well, and then both these two had the same thing on their mind. Falcons have also played two good teams so far this year, ran into the Seahawks and then the Cowboys. Granted, the Cowboys game was what a disaster that was, but that's an aberration even for the Falcons. And I think they'll rebound. The good news for the Texans, though, is their schedule's tough, but they play in the AFC South, so I think they'll be fine.
Very true, very true. Well, Ethan, not to fret, I have a fresh question for you while we're talking about bad teams. This is the last thing that I'll ask on this point, but other than the Eagles, who obviously have been just an affront to their expectations this season, are there any other teams that have gotten off to just a really horrible start that you did not expect to watch kind of stumble drunkenly out of the gate like this?
I mean, the obvious team would be the Broncos. I didn't think the Broncos were world beaters, and unlike the Denver sports media, I didn't think Drew Locke was the next John Elway. But to go 0-2 like this, and then the way the injuries have hit them, yes, I know the 49ers have been even more decimated by injuries, but at least they, you know, have won a football game. So there's that. But the Broncos, they 0-2. They just looked not good, even when they've had most of their players on the field. They're in a tough spot right now.
Fair enough. Koki, back to you on this. A team you've kind of been very disappointed with in terms of what they put on the field this year, other than the Eagles, who, again, I think that goes without saying.
For me, it's Dallas. Dallas got really, really lucky this past week, and now for whatever reason, everyone in Dallas feels like they're going to go to the Super Bowl again, when in reality they should be 0-2 right now. Their offense hasn't shown up this season until this past game, and the second half of this past game, and defensively they have major issues. So I just don't get it with that team.
Alex?
I pretty much agree with most of those. The Browns looked horrible in week one. They played the Ravens and they bounced back in week two. The Colts blew it against the Jaguars in week one, came back and bounced back and beat the Vikings. Maybe I'll go with the Vikings simply because I don't expect that. I did not pick the Vikings to make this, like, the playoffs this year or anything like that. They lost a lot defensively, but to get just annihilated in both of their games has been surprising to me. I thought they're too good of a coach team. They have, you know, a competent quarterback in Cousins, and you know, I thought they could at least control the ball well enough to keep themselves competitive. But that hasn't been the case, and that game against the Colts was really tough to watch for them.
Yeah, it certainly was. So I want to move on to the biggest headline of week two, and that was these gosh darn injuries. Everyone is just dead right now. The 49ers alone, they lose Nick Bosa, they lose Thomas, Mostert, Coleman, Jimmy Garoppolo. You obviously have Saquon Barkley and Sterling Shepard on the IR right now for the Giants. Christian McCaffrey is going to miss some time. Drew Lock and Cortland Sutton out for the Broncos. Tyrod Taylor, we'll talk about that in a minute. And then Tavon Young for Baltimore, Malik Hooker for Indianapolis, Anthony Barr, the list goes on and on and on. I wanted to first start by asking, which of those injuries, other than the Saquon Barkley torn ACL, which is going to be irrelevant when I rephrase this question, which of those injuries do you think is going to have the biggest impact on a team's ability to make a deep playoff run, in your opinion? And Alex, I'm going to start with you on this.
Probably, honestly, Nick Bosa's injury with the 49ers, because they're one of those teams you mentioned that I expected to make a deep playoff run. Losing that dynamic on the front is really painful, and he's not going to play the rest of the season. Like, you know, there are a few other guys you mentioned that will be back sort of later in the year that it's really difficult to get through, you know, these next few weeks without them, but Bosa's not coming back, and that he proved to be so valuable to that team's defense last year, and with him and Thomas both on the shelf, that defensive line is just not quite the same.
Koki, I hate to hit you with the meme question, but I do know you love your memes. I hope you appreciate getting an opportunity to be the one who gets to talk about this. Tyrod Taylor has never been able to catch a break in his career, and now he ends up losing out because his doctor punctured his lung while trying to inject him with some pain meds. Is he ever going to, like, actually get a chance to show what he can do on the football field and not get screwed over by an organization or an incompetent doctor?
I don't know if I'd phrase it that way. What happened to him this past week is, I mean, hilarious on one end and also very, very sad and unfortunate on the other. And I actually do really feel bad for the guy, but he's also not good at football. So, I mean, yeah, they can give him as many chances as you want, but, like, he can't really throw the ball more than 20 yards down the field. He's a good runner, but not a great one. And yeah, he got that weird Bills team to the playoffs that one season, but that was a team really built around some running game and defense, nothing really to do with Tyrod's play. In fact, they got rid of Tyrod and decided to retool just so they could pick Josh Allen in the draft the very next season. But anyway, like, I'm not a big Tyrod guy, and I think Herbert should probably have been the starter from day one. And, I mean, he looked a lot better than Tyrod did in week one. So, I and I'm not even a big Herbert guy. So, you know, I'm just not – yeah, I mean, Tyrod doesn't get – the bounces that he should, but he's not good either. So,
well, and let me keep it with you on that for just one more minute. In terms of Justin Herbert and what he did, that was one of the other big storylines. He looked a lot better than I think we expected after what we saw. A good year for him at Oregon, but he made a lot of mistakes. Didn't make a ton of mistakes in that game against the Chiefs where they almost won.
Yeah, he had the one really boneheaded throw across the middle of the field. It was like a 35-yard attempt, at like 35, 40-yard pass, and threw it into like triple coverage. And that was sort of like the Justin Herbert of Oregon of old. But considering that, like, they told him at kickoff that he was going to start the game, it was an impressive performance. And he was a lot more poised than I thought he'd be. And I think he is a smart guy, and he does have – and he did show some poise at Oregon. It's just there were times where he just inexplicably make a dumb decision or a dumb throw that would cost you the game. And he kind of did that in the Chiefs game, but he also kept them in it and played a lot better and was a lot more dynamic than Tyrod ever was in week one. So, yeah, this Chargers team's kind of interesting if he can be solid like he was last week.
Ethan, I want to come to you for this last question. I know you're a Jets fan, but you are from the area of Denver. You have been around the Broncos for most of your life. Let me just ask you this. Drew Lock is hurt, obviously, right now. Not the quarterback situation that they were expecting to have. Let me ask two questions. The first is, without Von Miller, without Drew Lock for a little while, without Cortland Sutton, what do you think the new ceiling is for this Broncos team? And what's your take on Drew Lock from what you've seen so far this year? Because Alex and I talked about this a few weeks ago. I already wanted to write him off as a bust. Alex said it was too early. So, again, ceiling on the Broncos and your take on Drew Lock.
Well, Drew Lock is somewhere in between what you thought, Tyler, and what, again, the Denver sports media was feeling that, and Bronco fans were feeling that this guy was the next big thing. I don't think he's either of those. I think he could develop into a perfectly fine, maybe even above average NFL quarterback. I don't know if he ever reaches that kind of star level of quarterback play. Having him out, though, and having that, and he is a dynamic player in that we didn't totally know what we were going to get from him this year, and he can have games where he is the best player on the field. But without him out, Jeff Driskel does not do those things. Or whatever you think of Drew Lock, Jeff Driskel is worse. Blake Bortles is even worse than that. So the Broncos are in trouble. Without Lock, without Miller, and without Sutton, they, at best, I think, win 8 games. I don't even think they get there. I think this is kind of a lost season for them at this point. Maybe you get some good looks with Jerry Jeudy. He's kind of your number one receiver. He gets that experience. That's nice. Noah Fant continues to develop. I've liked what I've seen from him so far this year. But there's just not much to write home about right now with the Denver Broncos. And it's unfortunate because I don't think they were going to be world beaters by any means, but they would have been an interesting team in that AFC West. And I think with their injury situation, they no longer are.
All right, fair enough. One last thing. We got a full slate of games coming at you guys tomorrow for the NFL. So really quickly, I'm going to start with Ethan. We'll work our way backwards. Just pick it up where the last guy leaves off. What is one matchup you're kind of keeping your eye on going into this week? Because there are a lot of good games. Like, I don't know that I would feel confident betting money on almost any game this week with the exception of the Cardinals.
Yeah, the game I'm paying the most attention to is Bills-Rams. And I get it. There's Chiefs Ravens on Monday night, which that should be the Sunday night game, but we won't talk about that. Rams-Bills is the most interesting game to me. I want to see what happens with the Rams when they go up against a really good team in the Bills. And I'm curious to continue to see Josh Allen against what looks like a much improved LA Rams defense from last year. That's going to be a really exciting and fun game.
Koki?
I'm going to go the Washington football team versus Cleveland.
Okay.
You know, I just really want to see Dwayne Haskins against this defense. Okay. This is a pretty good question because I don't want to be basic and go with Kansas City and Baltimore, or even Green Bay and New Orleans. So, like, obviously those are two games everyone's going to need to watch. But, I'm going to pick Dallas versus Seattle. I think that's kind of a fun shootout game that I want to watch.
Okay. Know? Alex?
Is taking my thunder. Chiefs-Ravens, I'm going to be dialed in that entire thing because that's wonderful. And I kind of wish it was a little bit later in the season, but that's still going to be really fun.
Yeah.
Matchup for tomorrow. You know what? I'm going to go Raiders-Pats because the Raiders are 2-0. They just had a pretty big win against New Orleans. The Patriots are 1-1, but we're like very competitive with a very good Seahawks game. So I'm kind of interested to see sort of where both these two teams are at compared to each other. If the Raiders can, you know, take down the Patriots and they're 3-0, then it's like, okay, this may not be a hot start and like a really good offense, bad defense kind of like fun team. They may actually be pretty good. But if the Patriots like full on take care of business, then I can't wait to hear from my roommate how great Cam Newton is for the next week. So I'm gonna go with that one.
All right, fair enough. I am going to go with one that was actually mentioned earlier. Saints-Packers is going to be interesting. I think they're two teams trending in opposite directions in terms of their expectations this year. I think the Packers have really been impressive. I think the Saints looked horrible against the Raiders last week. And look, I've already admitted on the show, I am a Saints fan. You guys have heard me unapologetically make excuses for the Saints. I'm not going to do that. They played abysmally. And more than that, I think for the first time, with the exception of a few plays last season, Drew Brees just looks old and kind of washed and kind of sad. And that makes me really sad. So I'll be interested to see how he bounces back this week.
I was going to say, Tyler, what's the promo for NBC for that game? Tune in Sunday night to see if Drew Brees can throw more than 20 yards down the field.
He can't. He really can't. I think they need somebody else to step up. I don't know if it's Tre'Quan Smith. I don't think, just with his running style, that it's Emmanuel Sanders. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. Again, I think this is a really good Packers team, but I could also see the Saints doing that thing that they like to do where they lose a game they should have won, and then they just come out and drop a bomb the next week.
Well, you know who drops bombs and throws more than 20 yards down the field?
Taysom Hill.
Oh, Famous Jameis.
You're right. Third string quarterback, Famous Jameis. Also, I love the...
By week 7, Winston will be the starter.
Oh, jeez. Please don't say things like that on my podcast, Alex. No, I'm just messing with you. But yeah, no, I loved the GIF that has come out of this week of Jameis on the sideline with the iPad. That gave me a lot of enjoyment. But yeah, that will about wrap it up. Again, a full slate of fantastic games coming at you tomorrow. It's a full Sunday of NFL action. Before we go, wanted to debut a new segment. And we will be calling this 15-second blitz. This is something that we did a number of times before just on our own, but I thought it would be kind of interesting to do it on air. So here's the way this is going to work. This is basically kind of an advanced trivia circuit. I am going to give the three of you a category. You are going to each have individually 15 seconds to name a player that fits into that category. If you get it, it moves on to the next person. If they get it, they have 15 seconds. It moves on to the next person. If you go 15 seconds without giving me an answer, you are out. Really quickly, the order is going to go in the order we started things off at. Alex will lead us off, then Koki, then Ethan. Ethan, you will then have the turnaround, so you will have an additional 15 seconds to name a second player in this category before it goes back to Koki, Alex, Koki, and so on and so forth. So your category is 2010 NFL quarterbacks with over 2,000 passing yards. There are exactly 30 of them. If you can name one with 4,000 or more yards that season, you will gain 3 points. If you name one with 3,000 or more, it'll be worth 2 points. And if you name one that only had 2,000 or more, it will be worth 1 point. Alex Weiner?
How many yards did they have to have at least?
2,000. Again? 2,000 is okay. The minimum. So there were 30 NFL quarterbacks with over 2,000 yards in 2010. I am, of course, trusting all of you not to cheat. Alex, you have 15 seconds. You are on the clock. Your time begins now.
I'm going to go with Drew Brees first.
You are correct. Drew Brees in the top 5. He was number 3 that year. Koki.
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning is also on the list. Manning clocking in at number 2 that year. Ethan.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is on the list. Rodgers that season finishing just outside of the top 5 at number 7. Got another one, Ethan?
Let's go with Thomas Brady.
Thomas Brady, beloved unknown quarterback. Brady is on the list right below Aaron Rodgers. Koki, we're back to you.
Bucks legend. Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger is on the list. He is in the 3,000 category. Alex, back to you.
I'll stick with that draft class and go Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers, number 1. Phillip Rivers leading the NFL that season with 4,710 passing yards.
Wow.
Alex, you're up again.
I'll stay in that draft class and go Eli Manning.
Eli Manning. Alex has actually swept now three of the top five quarterbacks. He's taken home the big points. Eli Manning, the fifth highest with 4,002 yards. There is only one remaining quarterback with over 4,000 yards that has not been named. Koki.
I'm going to go a little curveball here. Brett Favre.
Brett Favre. You are correct. Brett Favre in that 2,000 category. Ethan, you're up.
Let's go with Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan. Yes, Matt Ryan in the 3,000 category. Ethan, you are up again.
About Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco also in the 3,000 category. Also worth noting, Ethan, you have now named your four quarterbacks that you've named are in consecutive order, four in a row. Not sure how you did that. Koki, you're up.
Matt Castle.
Matt Castle on the list, over 3,000 yards passing that year. Alex, back to you.
I really thought Matt Castle was going to be really good. Back to me, Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer is on the list. He is just outside of the top five at number six. Alex, you got another 15 seconds.
Another 15. I think Matt Schaub was the quarterback of Texans at that time.
Matt Schaub, fourth in the league in passing yards. Alex, you're taking home the big points. Four of the top five, all going.
Who let Matt Schaub get that high in passing yards?
4,389 passing yards in 2010 for Matt Schaub. Koki, we're back to you.
Oh, my goodness.
It's getting tough.
This
list is a who's who of bad quarterbacks.
There's some bad, yeah, there's got to be some really bad players left. Jake Locker?
Jake Locker, not on the list. I will give you five more seconds.
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know.
All right.
Yeah.
Koki, you are out. Sure. Ethan and Alex, you guys are just going to go back and forth. Ethan, you are up.
Wanted bad quarterbacks, I'll name you one. Mark Sanchez.
Mark Sanchez, yes, sir. Sanchez is on the list. I just got to double check. Yep, there he is. Alex, back to you.
Bad quarterbacks. I'll double down and go Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford, yes, absolutely. Nailed it. Ethan.
Let's make it a triple. Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler, yes, sir. Jay. Smoking Jay. Alex, back to you.
Oh, this was before Tebow. So, Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton. Yes, sir. Kyle Orton is on the list. Ethan, you got 15 seconds.
Thank you, Alex. That was my next one. You know who was still in the league at that point? For sure. I don't know if he was over 2,000. I think he must have been. Matt Hasselbeck.
Matt Hasselbeck. Yes, sir. He is on here. Alex, back to you.
We'll go young Matt Stafford.
Young Matt Stafford. I actually don't remember from memory if that is on here. He is not.
Got hurt?
I'm not sure, but he didn't. He might just not have cleared the threshold on the yards. I'll give you another 10 seconds.
Another 10 seconds. Gosh.
Stafford did get hurt that year, by the way. He played three games.
He played three games that year?
Yep.
Shoot. Was Donovan McNabb still in the league?
Yes, right at the 1 second mark. Donovan McNabb, 3,000 yards. Ethan, we are back. What's up?
Was he still on the Eagles or was he on Washington?
I don't actually have that specifically in front of me. I don't know which team he was with in 2010. Ethan, you got a fresh 15.
All right. Let's go with Alex Smith.
Yes, Alex Smith is on the list. Ethan, you are killing it today. Really quickly, I'm going to break. I'm going to give you guys one brief hint. There are two quarterbacks on the list that is still in the league. Alex, 15 seconds.
Still in the league. I assume in a backup role, or is he starting?
I cannot tell you that.
Cannot tell me that. Who's still in the league? Wait. Is it Fitz?
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yes, sir. 3,000 passing yards for Ryan Fitzpatrick in 2010. There are only 5, 6, 7, 8. There are 8 quarterbacks left on this list. You guys have already exhausted more than I thought you were going to get. Ethan, pressure's on. 15 seconds. Who you got?
I'll use part of my 15 seconds because Alex talking about Donovan McNabb reminded me of who mine is. But Donovan McNabb, for the record, was on the Redskins that year. I looked it up.
Okay.
Promise only using the computer for that. But speaking of the Eagles, Michael Vick.
Yes, Michael Vick is one of those quarterbacks. The 3,000 category, only 2 left. 2,000 categories where most of the remaining ones lie. Alex, 15 seconds.
One more still in the league.
Yep, I believe so.
I know who it is. Is it Chad Henne?
It is Chad Henne. Yep, Chad Henne had over 3,000 passing yards that year. It's getting down to the table scraps, gentlemen. Ethan, you're up.
Oh, boy. I don't remember. Was that the year that Tony Romo got hurt or didn't play that much?
I am not actually sure. Tony Romo's not on the list. I will say that.
Darn. Okay.
5 seconds.
I don't got anybody.
That is time. And Alex started, so technically you don't need one to ice it, but if you want to show off, Alex, do you have another?
What about the points?
He got all the ones at the top, though, so I think it's, yeah, he pretty much cleaned that up. Alex, you got a flex here?
I'm trying to, because you said Stafford played 3 games, right?
Yes.
So who was the Lions? Was it Kitna?
It was John Kitna. Yes, John Kitna sneaking onto the list with over 2,000 yards passing. Other quarterbacks with over 2,000 yards in 2010, the only one from the 3,000 category that you missed was Josh Freeman. And then sliding down the list, you had David Girard, Sean Hill, Jason Campbell, and Derek Anderson.
Wait, what?
I don't feel bad about missing any of those.
Yeah, once it got down to those last couple, I knew there was a very low chance that you guys were going to be able to get that. So, Alex, for once, you're starting off in the leaderboard. The only guy on the leaderboard.
Hey, I'm decent at this game.
You are very decent at this game. I meant more in terms of like our previous shows and your track record with that.
The Gatorade was orange.
The Gatorade was orange. So Alex Weiner steals a point. We will have an updated leaderboard, and we'll be bringing this segment back on future episodes. But that is about all the time we have for today. Guys, I want to say thank you so much for stopping by. It is great to have you, and we will have more content coming up on the TBH Sports Podcast next week after another full week of NFL games. But for Tyler Henry, for Alex Weiner, Ethan Jordan, and Koki Riley, I want to say thank you one more time for tuning in, and we'll see you next week on the TBH Sports Pod here on Spotify.